We have about 6 minutes to get into the works of the flesh, so that will give us an opportunity at least to look at the introductory material. If you would like to turn to Galatians chapter 5, what you will notice becomes obvious as you look at the list that is found there. It starts in verse 16 and goes through verse 26, the context. And we'll read that in just a few moments. But there are actually two lists that are given in that context. The first one is in verses 19 through 21. And the second is in verses 22 and 23. The works of the flesh, which we'll discuss first of all, are evident, verse 19, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. By the way, as I state every time I preach or teach on this lesson, you'll notice that it says, and the like, which means this is not an exhaustive list by any means, that there are many other things that are like these things, that are likewise standing between a man and eternity. You'll notice in the latter part of verse 21, it tells us that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we're going to discuss the works of the flesh first. And then in verses 22 and 23, you'll notice that there is the fruit of the Spirit. And again, as we indicated, either love heads the list or it is the last one, depending upon whether you're talking about a growth process or preeminence. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such there is no law. Verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So what is characteristic of the Christian's life? Speaking contextually, you've got the fact that they are in control of themselves. What you'll find when you talk about the works of the flesh, these are works of these are indications of an undisciplined person. A person has not disciplined himself, established self-control. People who are lewd and lascivious, people who are fornicators, murderers, hateful, envious. These are individuals who do not have control over their baser impulses. Such control is something that is an aspect of maturity. It comes with an understanding of God's will with regard to a constant practice. The idea of self-denial, self-control, are tied in with the fruits of the Spirit. one of the things it's a cartoon that most of you are familiar with, the Theophilus cartoon, at least those that are older who remember them from all the church bulletins back in the 60s and 70s and such. Bob West had a very interesting cartoon that he did. The Theophilus, of course, means lover of God. Theophilus is the individual that Luke wrote both the book of Luke and Acts to. So it's an appropriate name for an individual who is the main character in the cartoon. And there's one cartoon that always comes to my mind where you have Theophilus in a boat on a river, and you have three or four others in another boat, and they're passing each other by, going in different directions. And in the other boat, you have a painted lady, so she's a hussy, or a prostitute maybe, or at least an immoral woman. You have an individual who's drunk. You have a hateful individual. There's three or four of them, and you can see by the way they're drawn that these are individuals that are taken over by the various works of the flesh. So they're floating down the river. They're just taking it easy, and they look over and see Theophilus rowing upstream just as hard as he can. And they start ridiculing, make fun of him, look at how hard he's working, and what do you think he's doing, and all, and as they're floating down the river. And of course, in the final panel of the cartoon, you see the waterfall and the fact that the boat's just about to go over the edge. Theophilus is working hard to avoid destruction. It's very easy for individuals to go to destruction. The way is broad and the gate is wide, and it leads to destruction. There are many who will go there. But But narrow is the way, and straight is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. It takes discipline. So what you'll see as you look at these things are attributes, the fruit of the Spirit, attributes that are gained through effort and through limiting self and through applying principles. And it's a thing that takes discipline, it takes effort, it takes working in order to reach that point. There will be times when you'll falter along the way. You'll struggle as a result of these things. When that happens, you ask God's forgiveness and you keep going. It's easy to go to hell. It's difficult to go to heaven. And that's something that's obvious when you look at the list. I mean, when you look at that list of the flesh, those things, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, those having reference to sexual sins, that's a profligate life. That's a life of excess, a life of lacking discipline. You look at the others, envy, murders, outbursts of wrath, dissensions, heresies. These are things where a man's tongue or a man's anger or his emotions are let loose. He does what he wishes. He doesn't control himself. And then you look at the other parts that are mentioned there, drunkenness and revelries. Have you ever heard the phrase, letting yourself go? You know, tonight I'm just going to let it all hang out. I'm going to partay. You know, that's the way people look at it. And that's what they're doing. They're not exercising self-control. And that leads to destruction. But when you contrast that with the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and then self-control, which again is at the base of all of this. It's, I'm not going to do what I desire to do. I'm not going to do the easiest thing to do. I'm going to do what's expected of me by God. I'm going to work at it. I'm going to be diligent. And that's the difference between those two things. And we'll be talking about the works of the flesh starting next week. And you'll notice that the first thing we're going to be looking at is the context. And there is context here. It's that's very, very interesting. That will be very beneficial to us. You'll notice he says in verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do Christians avoid the lust of the flesh, the various illicit desires that lead to sin? Well, you do that, look at it this way. There's a warfare. In fact, it states it there in verse 17, the flesh lusts against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. So you've got the flesh working against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh. So here's an individual who is struggling. He's trying to be faithful, but he's struggling. So it's almost like a balance there. It could go either way because they're right up against each other, right in the middle, and like a tug of war. A piece of cloth hanging down and lines on each side, and it's right in the middle, and it goes a little this way, it goes a little that way, it goes a little this way, and it's just really, really hard. It's a struggle every day to live for Christ. But as you immerse yourself in the Word, as you apply the principles of love, as you practice self-discipline, as you work as a Christian, gradually the Spirit gets stronger and the flesh gets weaker, and you get over farther and farther and farther and farther to the side of the Spirit, to where the Spirit is firmly in control. The Spirit's winning. And I've talked to a lot of people saying, you know, I struggle so much. And why do I struggle when other Christians seem to have it all in order? And that's not to say that all of us do not struggle from time to time, because we do. But a mature Christian is going to struggle less with sin because the Spirit's firmly in control, because he's applied himself, he's worked at it so long that an individual who's consistent, the word's consistent in the application of these things. As Hebrews 6 says, or 5, it says, by reason of use, he's had his senses exercised to discern good and evil. He's worked at it. And then you have the individual who he's struggling right here, and it's in the middle, but the world gets the upper hand more often, and more often the Spirit gets weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker, to where eventually he apostatizes and goes away, where the flesh wins. Now, all of us have that little bit of some of that struggle. It's always there for every one of us. And as you're a babe in Christ, that struggle is more intense and more difficult, and you falter more often. But the promise that we're given, and then I'll let you go, but the promise then in verse 25 is, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. And then verse 24, those who have Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. And the promise is this, the more we apply ourselves, and the longer we work at it, and the more we immerse ourselves in God and his word and his will and his people, then you get control. The Spirit gets control and is able to overcome the flesh, and the Spirit wins. And one of the things that's so amazing to me is how characteristically the individuals that I talk to who are struggling spiritually, and some of them for many, many, many years, what's obvious to me is they've not diligently worked at it to the point where they've reached that level of maturity. They're still babes in Christ, still immature, still struggling, because he never grown. And that's the danger with regard to the Hebrews. He said, if you don't grow, you're going to go the other way. If you don't diligently apply yourself, it's like a muscle. If you don't work at it and strengthen it, it atrophies. But as you work and work and work and work, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. That's I tell you, when that action back and forth, the flesh lusting against the spirit against flesh, I think one of the best things you can do for a person who's struggling spiritually is by looking at this passage and saying, look at this. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not a magical thing. But if you diligently apply yourself to it, as time progresses, as you grow stronger and more mature as a Christian, then it becomes easier and easier and easier. And that's the problem that God gives us.
And some of those things we conquer pretty well. I don't mean that you couldn't fall, but like getting drunk, I don't think I'll ever get drunk.
Oh, good.
I'm glad that's behind you. That there are things always ahead of you that you've not conquered.
No, and the battle's never won until the day of judgment. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment.
Do I sleep in, or do I get up and go to Bible school?
Are you still struggling with that?
No, I just didn't
say that. So, do I get an extra hour of sleep, or go listen to Stan for another hour? Thank you.
Things are harder for you in some areas than others, and that'll be true till we die, I'm sure.
Is it Paul that says the things that I do not wish.
He calls himself a wretched man, but with God's help, he overcame.
I have to smile when I read that. I can't imagine him being a wretched man, but he killed Christians.
He never forgot it. Sometimes we forget his early struggles as a Christian. And
before. But it gives us hope when we know that it can happen to you, and then you can still get all right.
Thank all of you for coming today. Enjoyed very much the discussion. We'll pick up with context there in that lesson next time.